Okay, City of Franklin, Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan. GIS?
Yes.
You don't have to actually hook into the server here. You can just go right on the internet, right?
Yeah, we were first going to try to go to the internet. This is a update of the park plan. A copy was previously provided at the last Plan Commission meeting. Subsequent to that meeting on the 3rd, the Parks Commission met on the 7th, recommended approval of the plan with some changes. Those changes have been made, have been generally identified in the staff report. And if we need to, we can look at more detail of what those were.
Is that totally expanded? What is? Okay. Thank you for getting that up there. That other thing that just before that you had was the GIS, right? Could you go back to that for a second? Okay. For those of you that don't know this, this project that the city's been working on for quite some time, GIS, which has been a fetish of mine to get this thing up on the internet for a long time, is up on the internet and available to everybody in the world, and it does have some GIS applications associated with it. And I'm asking that this be up at every Plan Commission meeting, given that we think it costs about $4 million. So I would also tell you that you should tell all your friends and neighbors and everyone else. I find it to be an extremely great tool. And can you expand that out a little bit? Mr. Bennett talked me into this a long time ago. But it's really a good tool. Can you go to zoning map, the portion that's the layers and zoning? And in a few seconds, it should come up with all the zoning. Is that the zoning that's in place, or is that the zoning that... It's the old zoning, isn't it? Or is it the new?
I believe that's current zoning, although I don't know how recently it's been updated.
Okay. And so all of those things that you worked on as task members for all those years, it's actually up in place, and you can take a look at it anytime you want. How about identify? You find a parcel of land and do an identify. Probably have to go back to that satellite view. Get out of them. Okay. You can see all the roads are. I mean, it's Google has much of this, but it doesn't have this. Maybe fly in at Mr. Bennett's house or something. Okay. And what does it say up there? Franklin, Walters. As we go through the park plan, we'll actually be able to zoom in and look at each parcel if you wanted to, be able to tell what's the current zoning, who the landowners are, which school district, and what is the number of acres, things of that nature. So I'm glad that it's up and running, and it looks like it's working very well. Yeah.
I just want to switch. This is good, but what staff has on our GIS is, you could say, maybe 100 times more. Because they can only put a little bit that a person can get used to using, but it takes a lot of training to use everything. But it's just unlimited, almost, what you can do on it when you have all the tools available. Now, made just a few tools available for this view, and they're going to make different, as I understand, they're going to have different views for different applications. So again, it's going to be easy to use, and the person using a particular application, you want to look up, for instance, the value of a home, or somebody wants to look up natural resources, they can make a view for that that's real easy to use. We have unlimited. It's just that we have literally hundreds of applications, soils, zoning, it just goes on and on and on. We can look at aerial maps going back to, I think, 1933. And it's all we have to do is a click. Now, some of those 1933 maps weren't so hot, aerial maps. But it's just amazing what we have available. And it seems like every month, more and more stuff becomes available. But it's very difficult, unless you do this day in and day out, for the average person to be able to use all this. So they're making it a lot simpler, and the GIS people are going to make different applications. So if you want to look at planning and all that, you can go into one thing. If you want to look at something other, you can look at that.
Now, Jack, you did that with the air balloon, right?
I had the new economic development director from Waukee County out here a week ago, I think. And I showed him this, and he was pretty amazed at what we could do, and he didn't even see the full-blown one. But I said to him, I said, well, maybe this is what you want to talk to the other municipalities about as far as emulating, and because I think we probably have the best system, right?
I can show the sewers that were built in 1972.
Which I get a question about almost every day.
I wanted to note and pass along a note, I should say, from the director of administration that they're continually making improvements to this. Just within the last day or two, they put the location to be able to get to this in a more prominent location, the city's main webpage. And then when you do click to the GIS page, the button that actually gets you to this view is in a more prominent location. So they're continually working on improvements and updates.
Actually, I asked Mr. Liberto if he could put this, make sure that the link is on the front page of the city's website, which it is now. So let's use it for going through the park plan. Mr. Deal?
So again, I'll skip most of the history unless you guys have questions. I'll just get to the point where, so we've made the changes the Parks Commission was looking for in the draft park plan. And the premise behind this entire park plan, this is an update. We're not looking to redo the whole plan from scratch. It was done in 2002, so it is 9 years old. Generally recommended to be updated every 5 years or so. Getting a little bit long that way, but the major changes that have happened since 2002 are not that many. The biggest ones are we're envisioning public sewer to the southwest part of the city, which is a major change. But on the other hand, it didn't envision that the economy would slow down either. And those two almost tend to offset one another. We just updated and finished updating a comprehensive revision of the city's comprehensive master plan that did include a startup redo from scratch, did obtain public input to an extent that I rarely see in any plan, and that included a lot of input and direction, goals and objectives directly specific to park and open space. So for those reasons, we are very comfortable with just doing the periodic update at this time. I do believe that if we do get public sewer to the southwest and growth and development to the southwest and we start making changes to the comprehensive master plan in the southwest, that would warrant a complete redo of the park plan. But at this point in time, I don't think it's necessary.
So tonight you're asking Plan Commission to, recommend approval of the draft of the city's Franklin Outdoor Recreation Plan?
Correct. And this would also be an update or an amendment to the Comprehensive Master Plan.
And I see we have the chairman of the Parks Commission here tonight, City of Franklin. Let me first ask the commissioners if you have any questions regarding this document or objections to moving forward on recommending approval of the draft plan. Ms. Bickley?
I had a couple questions because I was sick enough a couple weeks ago to sit and read the whole thing. Couldn't do anything else. So, do we have an opportunity to go through and make some corrections and suggestions to not only information but how it's presented?
Yes.
And do we want to do that tonight or do we want to do that at a different time?
I would strongly recommend tonight, there is a public hearing on this on March 3rd at the Common Council meeting, so that we would be able to get the information out for that time, would be much preferred.
Well, I have a few.
Take as much time as you like.
One thing I've noticed, and I hope I wasn't reading it incorrectly, there's a park referred to as Pleasant View Park.
Pleasant View
Neighborhood
up?
Park.
What?
Pleasant View Neighborhood Park, Chapter 4, page 13, also referred to Chapter 7, page 11. It's on map 4.1.
Chapter 4, page 13?
Yes.
Everybody there?
Yep.
Okay. And we can zoom in and pull up Pleasant View Park.
You're saying Pleasant View on my page, I get St. Martin's rather than neighborhood level.
There you go.
It starts at the very bottom of the page.
Okay, you're just taking that. Okay.
Can you point to the parcel that we're looking at?
Okay.
Right there. Because the rest of it, that 77 acres, I think, is the land that was put into conservancy under MMSD and then deeded over to us.
Correct.
So, yeah, I know some of this stuff.
So what I'm noticing throughout the document is it seems to be referred to as a present park. It's never referred to as a proposed park, and I'm just wondering why.
It's currently owned by the city and was in the previous park plan. So we're carrying forward the way it was presented in the previous park plan. It is owned by the city. There has been talks and discussion about development of it, but no development. So we have not distinguished those parks that don't have any development and you know, no longer call them parks. If it's owned by the city, intended for park purposes, we call it a park. Public access would only be available through the school property, but that's probably that issue or that situation probably exists at other sites as well.
Mm-hmm. And we have a map, map 7.1. Anyone looking at that map would assume there's a park there. But there is a list of symbols where it could be indicated as a proposed park. And there's a couple parks like that. And what I'm just concerned about is, from an infographic standpoint, if the public wants to see what do we have and where is it, what do we want and where are we going to go with it, you don't get that from these maps. And I think it would be very valuable in terms of planning, in terms of promoting a new park or a new trail, to be able to say there's not a park there, but we would like a park there and make that part clear.
Although, and that's possible. The first thing I would mention, though, I would
suspend the rules. I'd see you all.
I would mention that we wouldn't want to use the term proposal that has a long-standing history of it has not been approved for use as a park by the Common Council of the City, but undeveloped.
I think it makes an excellent point. I will call on you, but I have to suspend the regular order. But Mr. Migley?
So in the legend where it says planned neighborhood park, we would not want to use the word planned. We would want to use
undeveloped existing park.
Undeveloped existing park. Okay. And then another thing I think would be important to take into consideration is we have on map 5.1, also referred to on page 13, chapter 3, we have what are called service radius.
Wait, hold on a second. Let's get there. Chapter 3 what?
Chapter 3, page 13.
Some of us are a little slower. Okay.
And it's also seen on map 5.1. We refer to service areas, and we have these sort of arbitrary circles. But the circles are, in a grid development, the circles would make sense. But in a suburban development, a circle does not designate a service area. It designates a circle, but it doesn't show who actually has access to that park. For instance, where I live, if you go to Pleasant View again, supposedly, according to the radii, I have access to this proposed Pleasant View, but I don't.
There it is.
So it's a difficult nut to crack, but somehow we have to, when you have a Drexel or when you have the kind of roads we have where there isn't a clear crossing, you can't really say this subdivision across the street from Rawson has access to that park. So maybe we have to change how that's represented. And I don't know how to change that because circles are the easiest thing to do, put a pin in the middle and put a circle around it.
That issue has come up before. We've talked about it here in this plan, and I've also dealt with it in other plans. You could do a time to get to the park. So it wouldn't be a circle. It would be some amoeba-like shape, depending on where the roads actually are. Much more difficult to map, and also would more likely result in much smaller shapes, which would mean a lot more parks for based on that one criteria. And the premise that we've kept in mind, there's been a couple premises that we have through the entire preparation of this draft plan by staff. One of the premises were money's tight. Money's really tight. We're not going to make any major changes that would result in many more new parks being needed. And I believe that doing that amoeba-like shape, actually determining the actual time it would take to get from point A to the park, would probably result in many smaller circles. And then if you wanted to fulfill that criteria, you'd have to have many more parks. So if that premise is wrong, that cost is not an issue, then I see very little objection to doing that. It'll take more time, but it can be done. Mm-hmm.
But I mean from a, not from a required parks basis, but just from a proposing a need basis, it would seem easier to show here are areas that are not well served because of this problem, but the problem could be solved, for instance, by putting a crosswalk there or putting a trail there. We have no mechanism right now through these maps that we have where we can see those problems. That would show the problems. Another thing I had noticed, we have charts that show deficiencies that need to be addressed, and I think a deficiency overall that needs to be put on any chart for any park and any location in this whole report is the whole pedestrian and bike access aspect of the park. If you have to build a park with a parking lot, you've failed a bit right there. I don't mean you specifically, but a community at large has failed a bit because they have to put a parking lot in. I think an overall deficiency that we should apply to every park is lack of pedestrian and bike access. So that an overarching thing that we're always addressing with every park and every amenity is how can we get people to and from this park without having to put them in a car?
And I would tend to agree on the smaller the park. So I'd agree a lot with the mini parks, to a limited extent with the neighborhood parks, but not so much with the community or larger. Those regional parks and community parks are envisioned to require people driving to them. They're providing the services and types of facilities that would attract the larger area, need more people for participation in, to be a viable activity, those kinds of things. The mini park, on the opposite hand, is the smallest park. It's supposed to be for a neighborhood or a subunit of a neighborhood and with facilities mainly for small children. And you'd want to be able to walk them, put them in strollers, and take them there kind of stuff. So pedestrian and bicycle access to those I could see being a very important component. Again, we've talked about it. We didn't make that change. We're trying to keep this plan, another criteria that we kept in mind during the preparation of this plan again, was we didn't want to throw out the baby in the bathwater kind of theory. We wanted just to do a quick update addressing the main issues that have carried forward from the previous plan, to put this plan in conformance with the comprehensive master plan, and then wait and see what happens with the economy and wait and see what happens with the southwest part of the city. Because there are some large philosophy changes behind that concept.
Let me throw something in because a lot of it has to do with me trying to get this thing moved forward as well as the listening to knowing that the Parks Commission and the Council, I think, would like to get this forward. And a big portion of that, Commissioner Miglick, is We have impact fees that we've collected as a city for park acquisition, and if we don't use those park impact fees within a certain time limit, there's a possibility we may have to return them. And so that's some of the urgency, but also with the understanding, my understanding, that this document can be revisited and revisited and revisited and improved upon. So that was why this is moving forward as quickly as it is.
So I guess with that in mind, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and we are recommending a more detailed study on the trails. Mm-hmm. This could very well fit in that more detailed study.
We have two people that like to speak. One is Alderman Wilhelm, and the other is Dave, chairman of the Parks Commission. Before you do, I want to ask a question of the city attorney. And I think I know the answer, but sometimes I get surprised. My understanding is Common Council has the ability of actually handling all the parks themselves if they wanted to, or creating a parks commission. And but once they create a parks commission, the authority or the it's so-called the entity that makes the recommendations to the Common Council regarding park initiatives. Plan Commission can weigh in as to whether this is the highest and best use and proper planning techniques, but when it's all said and done, the Parks Commission actually has the authority, or the authority has been granted to the Parks Commission. Maybe I'm wrong.
As a subject matter specific concept, yes.
Okay.
Parks.
Yeah. The Parks Commission could recommend purchasing or acquisition of land for park purposes, but the final say would be the council's, because the council holds the purse, right?
Correct.
Okay. And so I'm trying to, tonight we are, as a plan commission, I think we're going over this best, highest use. Is this in sync with best practices for planning parks? But clearly I understand that the Common Council some years ago designated authority to our Parks Commission for being the party that makes these types of recommendations. So, but we also, glad Dave's here, because you can also hear from the plan commissioners the types of things that we think would be good. Like, I'm sort of with John right now regarding, if you're going to put this in with walks and bridges and stuff, let's recommend it now. So with that, I'm going to ask for a suspension of the rules to allow Alderman Wilhelm and Dave Pouts to speak. It's been moved. Is there a second? Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I think the answer to Mr. Bickley's question regarding the Pleasant View Park should have been that that was purchased with a DNR grant and has street DNR obligations, and that wasn't brought up here. So in the city files, I believe in 1998, when Leo Bethke was in the planning area, they made promises to the DNR that they were going to buy that property, and that there's a whole big plan on what's supposed to be there for that park. And so it never got developed, and it's been outstanding since 1998, and we actually have that obligation outstanding still with the DNR and haven't addressed it. So that's probably why it's being called a park and not a proposed park. Purchased for a park.
In my recollection of the, because I was here, I think, at the time, the 77 acres is to only be used for passive purposes, right? Passive park purposes.
Yeah, that's the actual area that I'm saying,
right.
But this particular one is the DNR stewardship or Greenway grant or something else that was purchased with, that was, I think, 98. So that was one comment. The other one was on Chapter 1, page 11, it talks about the 2007 referendum for the school district, but I haven't had a chance to look at this whole plan, and my question was just to make sure that the new data that they just did was somehow addressed. And I understand also the need for wanting to get this thing forward, but we should also make sure that it has correct information in it. The other one was I had a question, and one of my constituents had asked me about the where it says the location of a central park being worded as being by the landfill, and if that actually should not be called Central Park, because it's not really central to the city, so the consideration of renaming that park...
Moving into that, David.
Into the Southwest Park or the something other than Central, because Central tells you it's... Okay, so I guess you get that point. And then the other one I had was...
We're just going to zoom into that portion of the Franklin.
So I don't know what the new changes with the school survey that came out. They might have missed us in the 53221 zip code because I don't remember getting the survey. So I don't know what the new information is on where they're even planning on building or that, but that might be important to this park plan. So do you have the area you can point to, the proposed central park?
Kind of maybe move the cursor around the general area.
Which is, that's county land right there.
Right. So just surrounding the county.
Okay. So I guess my only question is, should we not call it a central park? Should we call it something else?
Or should it? Or should that be the...
Well, I would prefer it not be there, but I'm not the one who's going to be making the total decision on that. I think that the county needs to weigh in. And I mean, basically, we're planning a county park without... county approval in a state natural area with lit areas, and I brought that up at the public meeting we had, and I said, how many natural areas in the state of Wisconsin or other states have lit ball diamonds and stuff outside of them, and maybe we should be looking into if that would even be an allowable use before we're making that plan. But
Do you have a suggestion for a Central Park location?
Well, I like the working with the county and the complex that is already there, if that's doable in the Framing Park in that area, but
51st and Fuchs.
Right. It seems to be pretty central.
Okay.
I know that the county seems to be making a little bit of money on that, so there might be a lot of negotiating or handshaking that needs to be done on that site, but
I think they keep changing chairs down there, that's the problem. I keep shaking hands and then they keep moving county executives.
Right. So and then in Chapter 3 on page 28, down at the bottom, this is a real minor change, but it talks about in the last sentence under Secondary Environmental Quarters and Isolated Natural Area Preservation Standards. And the sentence says that all remaining undeveloped lands within the designated Secondary Environmental Quarters and Isolated Natural Areas in the city of Franklin should be considered for preservation as urban or suburban development. And then it says, and used as drainage ways, flood detention areas. So I would suggest the same thing, used as, which used, in my opinion, it could involve disturbance, should say act as drainage ways, because there was a determination at some point that drainage ways were man-made. And if we still have never quite determined if that's true or not, according to what the UDO says, but if you're going to use drainage ways in this instance and we're going to follow the man-made determination, that would allow disturbance and that would be in conflict with the current resource standards we have, as well as detention areas, which again, if you're putting them in a secondary environmental corridor, that would be a disturbance, which would also be in conflict with our current ordinance. So by changing just the word used to act, it makes it a little bit more in compliance.
Do you want to add, is that your recommendation
yes.
to the Plan Commission?
Yeah. And then these are just pages that I picked up while I was sitting here. So I would like to know what the preferred method of input would be prior to the next meeting. Would you like me to send an email? Because I certainly don't want to sit here and waste the time of the commission tonight going through all these small little nitpicky one word.
We also have this is there's going to be a lot of dialogue, I'm guessing, at the Parks Commission, right? And there's also going to be discussions at probably Committee of the Whole and common council, but yeah.
All right, the park commission always meets on the night of the Board of Health, so it's kind of hard for me to go to a park commission meeting.
I'm sure Alderman Solomon wouldn't mind combining those.
So, and then the other comment I had is chapter 3, page 29, it uses the word greenways. I don't recall this being a term in our current ordinance. Are we creating a new term? And if so, does that need to mesh with our ordinance? That's it.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, if you feel more comfortable, if you want to just come up and get a chair.
Well, I really didn't plan to come up here and speechify tonight. I didn't bring my book. But what I can talk about is the process. The process was basically taking, going back to 1994, I've been on the Parks Commission since about that time, using a document that they had, which back then was probably adequate for what we were doing back in 1994. 2002, we actually went through a very comprehensive analytical approach to future parks in the city of Franklin. We got a hold of Pat Meehan, and we actually had Pat research known standards and apply them against projected populations and the demographics that we projected for the city of Franklin, which we basically took from the 2002 report and updated it to current standards. So for the purpose of impact fee, and you brought up impact fee, and that's why I threw my hand up, because I think what we tried to craft in the Parks Commission was a document that could withstand litigation if somebody wanted to come after us and say, how the hell did you come up with all this stuff? And so we actually did a little science and tied it back into known standards, and I'm not going to qualify which references we used. I am sure that Orrin and Mr. Naylor can give you those standards, and it's outlined in the first few chapters plan. One of the things we have to do is we have to take a look forward, and that's what this document is trying to do. And we don't know what's going to happen going forward, but we know that if what we plan on happening going forward occurs, we got to have those little circles. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily right, okay? But we're taking projected populations and trying to put together some service radii for the different types of parks that are going to have to exist in those areas based on the standards that we have consulted and based on the populations that we believe either exist currently or will exist at that time. And that will, in essence, greatly enhance our ability to plan going forward. And we're glad that the Plan Commission is taking this up, because as things happen in the future, if there's something that comes in front of you, then there's a circle. Whatever. You know, it gives a little time out and says, hey, you know, is there anything in this for parks that we should probably be talking about? And it also allows us the ability to apply and write for grants, because now we actually have a document that's part of the city's master plan. And so that's basically my input here. I'm not going to get into the minute language on this thing because I'm not an English professor. But I think that staff deserves a little bit of credit, because he did a hell of a job in a short period of time. And I think we went through this document. It's almost impossible in the time frame we had to go through every sentence, every punctuation mark. But the intent is there, and I think we hit the ball out of the park as far as intent. So.
Well, I really appreciate that you came tonight reminded us all that, you know, this is actually a document that was put together by Patrick Meehan, who is considered to be, I don't know, one of the top guys around.
One of the top people around.
We had him on a consulting basis here during planning managers, and I think we paid him $100 an hour, which was quite a bit back then. Just for the record, if you don't mind, could you just please state your name and address for the record? We all know who you are.
My name is David Pouts. I reside at 3700 West Maple Crest Drive.
Thank you very much. If there's no objection, Alderman Solomon, did you want to speak? And then we'll return to the regular order of business.
Tim Solomon, 8026 South Mission Drive. I want to reiterate a point. John indicated that he has a park that doesn't show anything in it. But if you look at page, chapter 4, page 16, it tells us what the enmities at Pleasant View Elementary.
Chapter 4, 16?
I'm sorry, I got the wrong one. That was not the the correct one. But if you look up Pleasant View Park, the next page, that the following page that John referred to, it tells you what the facilities are going to be. And that particular page is what we're going to give to our consultants to figure out how to structure our impact fees, not only in that park, but in the other parks. The other thing that Kristen alluded to was the secondary and primary environmental corridors. Just remember, you need some criteria for trails in those corridors. In other words, right now, the Oak Leaf Trail is not going anywhere further south the county line if you don't let them go into the primary corridors. And everybody knows the Oak Leaf Trail is underwater probably five or six times a year, but the trail is still there. It's got the parking lots. The residents utilize it all the time. So as you move forward, those are some of the things you need to remember. It's not just all-inclusive that you stay out of these corridors sometimes in order to get a very good trail system moving. You need to go into those corridors. Thank you.
Okay. Is there a motion to return to regular order of business?
Second.
Moved and seconded. For discussion, seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. All right. Mr. Miglick, do you have some more questions?
Yeah, I just had some follow-up comments. One thing I learned in researching and preparing the Safe Routes to School grant and other grants that have to do with connectivity, sidewalks, trails, and things like that, is that having certain lines, certain language put in other city documents that can be referenced in your grant is very important, which is why I think it's important in this particular document to, for instance, say that an overall deficiency is lack of pedestrian and bike access. It should just be in every park we have should have that as an overall deficiency, so that when I apply for a grant or someone else applies for a grant, we can say, we can reference our document and say we've identified this as an overall deficiency. We're asking for this 100% funded grant, hopefully, to address that. Secondly, in terms of being able to find some of these deficiencies and be able to show them as previously put together, previously published, previously voted upon city documents, not documents that were contrived for the grant, it helps to be able to show this is a street that's hard to cross, this is a facility we'd like to get people to. So I'm just trying to lay the groundwork for new ways of finding funding. Right now, we've talked about one particular way of funding, and that's, you know, they ask to have matching funds from the city. I'm talking about let's find some 100% funded grants, and let's use every document that we create towards those grants. So in one example I can give you is on the Chapter 7, page 52, in other proposals and recommendations, it would be very helpful for us to include language that talks about connectivity for the city, useful connectivity, infrastructure, trails as infrastructure, not just trails as recreation and trails as a park-to-park conveyance. If we can convey in various portions of this document that we as a city recognize that our population is aging, that's on page, you've got some documentation of growth of over 65 population on page 3. The next step to that is we want to be able to cater to that population, the differently abled, and also the younger people who don't have access to vehicles. So, I'm not saying go through the whole document. It's a very well put together document. But some of these strategic things are things I'm able to then put in the Xerox, put in the grant, and it's helpful later on down the line.
Just on what you're talking about connectivity, I don't know if it was in Forbes or Money Magazine or I don't know which publication I saw it in recently, but Madison was elected number one city in the nation, best place to live, best place to retire, best place to retire, that was. And the number one reason that they gave was because of bike trails. So I think, like you're saying, John, it's not just, quote, bike trails. It's just the whole culture, and it's a flavor for the community. It's also an economic development tool for the city. If you want to bring in Microsofts or things like that, first they're going to want to know is what kind of recreational opportunities do they have? Do you have bike trails? Do you have running paths? All of that. So I do have a question for you. Is there some sort of software that you're aware of that would instantaneously convert some of this stuff to hyperlinks so that we have hyperlink documents so that one document connects to another document, connects to another document? You have Pleasant View School, and it just automatically takes you right there.
You have to add the links, but it can be done.
But is it manual? Or is there something that...
You'd have to highlight Pleasant View School and put the link to it. Oh. It doesn't find its own links.
Okay, so it's labor-intensive. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to set up a spreadsheet, and then you can identify that on your GIS with information, so you could go to the point of going to Pleasant View School and then bringing up all kinds of information that you might want about that, and you could click on any place in the city on a different school, or you could just sort and go to, like Pleasant View School, and you go to it and you have all the information. And our guy can do that. Todd Wiedemeyer can do that very easily.
Well, that would be one of my recommendations for this, for the Parks Commission as well as. I'm taking this from your suggestions, is basically trying to link all the documents together in the city, and also when somebody from outside the city goes to our website, they click on Pleasant View and it tells them not just about that little area, it tells them everything else, and it takes you here, takes you there. I mean, that technology, every time you go on Google or anything else, it's there already. So, do you have anything else?
Another thing, and I state this as a goal, not as something you'd want to insert into this document at this time, because I know you want to get this done quickly, is when we're looking at putting in trails, putting in sidewalks, I don't get a sense that we plan them for their utility. We plan them for the fact that there's land there that can be acquired, or that it's easier or harder to put a trail in. But at some point, maybe we have to come up with a numbering, a grading, a rating system. So if there's two trails being proposed and only one grant is going to be applied for, we, in a meeting like this, or the Trails Commission or the Park Commission, can say, well, that adds up to 17 points because it's got a commercial area and it's got a residential area. And that one only has a park and it has a residential area. That's 12 points. And if we can come up with something like that, I mean, we've got the GIS that shows where everything is, and we can color code everything. We can better find where a trail should be, because it's all right to put trails in because you're capable of putting trails in, but we've got to start making things connected because we want them connected. And it's harder, but it's easier to see where those areas can be if we somehow have an overview that we can look down on and see, this is a useful connection, here's a useful connection. And maybe it means that sometimes when trails are being discussed, it has to be put into a more of a planning and infrastructure sort of discussion than a recreation discussion. If we're going to put a trail in, let's make a trail that gets people from a place to a place. Like the mayor said, there's a correlation between communities that are highly rated in these national magazines and the national news and everything, and their pedestrian and bike capability. One thing we've seen in when corporations are looking to relocate, as the mayor also said, they ask, do you have those sorts of amenities? We have in this document, on page 15, chapter 1, we have a 1998 activities chart. And I just think that's too old. I just think that's the price of gas in 1998, I don't think made anybody think it would be better for them to hop on the bike that particular day. The internet was barely in existence at that point. And maybe if we're going to have an activities chart, we need to update it, bring it into the 21st century at least. If it's only 10 years old, that would be better than being that old.
I would agree with the last point John made about bringing it up to date if at all possible. And I know you don't do this, but this shouldn't always be seen as a staff document. This document should be seen as economic development tools, things that can be easily read by the citizens, and so that people have an understanding of what we're recommending for their community. So, Alderman Scassi, do you have anything?
No, I'm all set.
Okay. Ready, Mr. Haley.
Is Mr. Vicklick there?
I think so.
I guess I would echo that. Maybe relative to the trails and the aspect of a lot of our parks not being connected readily with pedestrian level bike trails, maybe the best way to handle that instead of going through the whole thing is simply to have a statement in the deficiency section that we are aware that there's a deficiency in not only the number of trails for recreational use, but connections to the trails and other amenities. And then in the recommendation section, we just come right back in and make a very strong recommendation that in all future park developments, we try to find ways to make that connection to include additional trails. Because that's what gives you the strength with grant programs, is that, you need the Corps to justify that you thought this all through, but what you're really trying to say to them is, we identified these deficiencies, and we're asking you for money to help us cure them because we identified that it's a really important deficiency. So a couple sentences in each section just addressing the fact that we have some trails, but we also have some parks that you can't get to, and that as we develop and expand and do whatever it is, we should always be making this overriding effort to improve connectivity, improve recreational trails. I think it's a real simple way to handle it. It makes a strong statement for grant purposes.
Go ahead. Did you?
Well, no, if you want to talk
about it. Well, it's just, I met with all of the county executive candidates recently, had a one-on-one with Chris Abley and Jeff Stone, and also the economic development director for Milwaukee County. And want to have this so Dave hears it out there, and Alderman Solomon and others, and that's that during the course of these conversations, and also the Greater Milwaukee Committee has come out with the recommendations, that there's somewhere around 900 county parcels outside of parks that I think all the entities are recommending that those be put out there for future sale. So if you have areas in the city, and I don't know if we do, but we should find those and keep an eye on them. Things are going to be fast and loose, more than we've ever seen. And so that's, they're here and we can do that. The other thing is that I think all of the entities I just described are all talking about some sort of mergers or cooperation or sharing agreements. So you're talking about parkways, and we might think about working together with the county parks, state, regarding grants for parks like the Oakleaf Bike Trail. Everything that I think that we've known in government for the last 50 years is about to change. So just throw that out. That's changed recently. Yeah.
Well, then I'll follow up to your comment. Just as a matter of knowledge, we have this one on GIS technology. The county's interactive GIF, we have an application that's available on the internet too. Just what you were asking for does exist. You can go and look at all county-owned parcels, and you can also turn on a layer that just shows park properties. So by looking at those, if you're interested in seeing where there are county-owned parcels in Franklin that may be available in the future that are not parkland, that.
Is there a listing? Because it didn't seem that the new economic development director knew that.
Well, it's being managed by the Department of Transportation Public Works. It's the McCandless program. We're managing it. And all of the data you're using becomes available through that filter. But as was said, the stuff is more and more is pouring out there every day, so it's just a matter of people learning that these tools are right there, and it's a very quick check. So if you're ever interested in where there's some county land in Franklin, you can bring that layer right up.
Yeah, he was getting an education at it.
And the McCamless link, that's available, so if we wanted to put a link on our website next to the...
McCamless is the clearinghouse for the data, basically. We're now the keepers of the data.
There's a link.
There is a link.
Yes, and they have... There's a lot more in-depth than our web.
But the county has recently enabled an internet application where the average citizen can use it, and then there's a higher level of access where you can get at the most current stuff.
I just wonder if we could put a link on our website.
Probably an excellent idea. Yeah. Okay.
And then staff,
mark that down. Mayor had excellent idea.
Staff and like plan commission members all can get a code so they can go in and do more in depth.
Very nice. Okay. That said, I guess one other thought on this whole plan. Very well done. I think one of the things that we should seriously consider doing, and unfortunately it's a little bit late in the game, the DNR will do a review and comment on the plan, and I think it would be foolish not to. Unfortunately, they're probably a little understaffed, and I don't know whether they could turn that around in time for our adoption, but we ought to get them a copy of the draft almost immediately because, one, they are one of the major funding sources, and the first thing they do is they want to see your comprehensive outdoor recreation plan, and for them to have already reviewed it and approved it probably helps you a whole heck of a lot with finding grant money. So even if it's just get a copy and let us know your thoughts later, they've got someone on staff who will go through it and basically does that for a living and can tell us where we may have had some deficiencies.
Kevin, should we be putting the initiative of the restoration of the Root River watershed in here? Because the portions of that are for recreation.
This sort of gets to where I was going to go next because I had a nice discussion with Mr. Sumwalt the other day about what else we could do in the plan. It does a very good job of capturing what was done before and updating it and making some recommendations. We had some talk about just clerical things and things in the mapping that needed to change. You mentioned economic development potential, and that's why part of my suggestions were maybe for another map that... This map, and I'm looking at 7.1, does a great job of explaining what the plan is doing, but there's probably a more user-friendly, or as John said, an infographic, better map. And that's why some of my suggestions were to not just truncate the parkways, for example, at the municipal boundary, show that they go beyond, to show the trails, to show these relationships so a company that's contemplating going to Franklin can look at a map and see all of these wonderful amenities are there, not just those things that the city is deciding to work on as parks, but when you've got the county resources, you've got state resources, to be able to look at one plan and see how much is green, where the developable land is, becomes a very useful tool. So maybe it's not a part of this plan, but maybe on the output of this plan, you take a map like this and greatly enhance it so that it really becomes a marketing tool. And that's what you put out there. Because some of this is a little bit dry, but I think for someone to be able to, which you don't realize, and even just looking at this graphic, you don't realize how much of Franklin is green and how much of it is already protected and how much of it is environmental forest. And to graphically look at that and go, oh, a business owner will know exactly what's going on, where the business parks are, those different land uses, and can be a really strong tool. So a lot of, and I don't know how we want to handle it, Warren did a great job of capturing my comments, just very informal. I had gone through the map. Again, some of them are mapping things that we just need to clean up, ownership of parks boundaries and things like that. But a lot of my questions and comments sort of went to that direction of how can we make this a better map? So maybe there aren't a lot of changes that need to happen on this other than to update it and make sure we've got the boundaries right. But some of this other stuff should all show up on a really nice map that shows proposed existing trails that you can look at and get an immediate snapshot of what Franklin is.
Just in case we have a new reporter in the audience, if there might be one. Kevin is the landscape architect for the Milwaukee County Park, so when he speaks, he really knows what he's talking about. Just in case we have a reporter.
Thank you for that. That said and done, Milwaukee County is in the process of updating its comprehensive outdoor recreation plan. It's been since 91, so don't feel so bad. And we're actually projecting it out to 2035. We're looking now at this update. So some of the stuff you've got in here will no longer be accurate. Talk about Oakwood Lake probably will never happen due to wetland protection laws, any number of things, but they are still valid and can be there now. But once our plan, we're about 95%, is amended and approved, and we go through the process that Frank was going through, some of the stuff will drop out, and I think they're well aware of that. So I don't know what we want to do with my comments. I think they're there. Everybody, if somebody has questions about what I was getting at,
how about this?
Go through them.
Anybody have an objection to what Kevin's saying should be in there? You have objection?
Question.
You don't vote.
Yeah. Question.
University.
I like the idea of a separate map. Again, showing all the things that we're connecting to, parkways that are outside the city, trails that are out city that we're connecting to, with an emphasis on that. Because I don't want to show, I don't want to emphasize what other communities have that we don't have. I don't want to have chase business to other communities. But where we tie into other communities, I would like to show that on a separate map, because this map 7-1's already getting pretty busy.
Yeah.
And then,
and maybe it's more like a land use map. Has some of that stuff from our master plan in.
And then, so I think that's a good idea as a separate map. And then maybe to make it prettier, at the same time as more educational, to add those other layers. You know, what is protected, what is environmental corridor, those kinds of things. Tie that together. My question was, I was intrigued by the idea. Could we follow up after the plan to do that map?
I think so, because again, it's more a marketing tool. The map you have here is there to support the text and vice versa. And it would be significant to make all of some of these are just simple changes, but a lot of them are in concept. I just think that ultimately you want to have a map, and you know, maybe it's on the cover of the comprehensive plan or whatever, and maybe it's on the front page of the city's website, but that you see green is green and blue is blue, and people can look at that and instantly realize what's going on there. And yeah, you don't have to chase people to the communities, but I think it's real important to, when you show the Oak Leaf Trail, don't let it end at the municipal boundary. Show that it goes on, because it connects to 120 miles of other trail and 5 different counties and more hundreds there. So those are big things for Franklin.
This trail take you to the zoo, this one to the Calatrava, this one to the PAC
and
airport.
And even points west with the trail system that we're establishing, the speed of all that. Those are all great connections.
I haven't been anywhere except West Dallas recently, but I'm guessing in looking at Jujon, it's in San Francisco and Charlottesville, things like that, Houston, they probably have all this stuff that we're talking about right now.
In Wausau?
Wausau.
You don't have to go too far.
Okay. No, we're looking. Did you have anything?
No.
All right. And so with all of this and with all the recommendations, I don't know if the staff's got them all categorized and comments by the alderman and the chairman, I'm going to ask if there's a... Yes. Oh, sorry. Mr. Ritter.
Just a few items here, and some of them are fairly simple, including the first one, just a typo. Chapter 7, page 25.
Okay.
Bottom of the upper half, section recommended plan the new public parks, fourth line down, in some instance, about midway in, or in some instance, I presume that's instances.
I would believe so.
Okay. Go on to chapter 7, page 28. About two-thirds of the way down. Talks about widening Oakwood Road and Pond Street parking. Now, at a recent meeting, I believe Mr. Bennett made a comment about on street parking being expensive. And I'm not so sure we're a long way from Oakwood Road having on street parking. So, I'm not sure even a long way in the future I want Oakwood Road to have on street parking. So, The bigger comment, I think you need to get on with figuring out where this park area is going to be and how we can develop linkages to it before everything starts developing around it. I'll come back to that point in a bit.
but I would seriously question whether we should count on on-street parking being a significant contributor to wherever it is that we develop this park, because of the cost benefits earlier, and because of the impact it's on traffic in the area. So just a comment there on that one. Skipping up to chapter 7, page 38. Lower section there, it mentions the Metro Conservancy, but I do not see that. Is that referenced on tab 7.1?
No, sir. Okay, well, that is one of Kevin Hamby's comments.
If we're going to talk about it in text, somebody should be able to see it on that. I think, I mean, it just as a matter of understanding what it is we're talking about in the text. They ought to be able to relate it to someplace on a map. So, and the same way, then at top of the next page, page 39, Elm Road Woods, also referenced in the text, but I don't see that on the map. So if there's some way that could, wherever that area is, could be noted. And now one of my favorites, skipping on over to page chapter 7, page 41, the St. Martin's Trail. 2.1 mile long north-south oriented segment of crushed limestone trail extending from about West Meyer Drive on the north to the Milwaukee Waukesha County line along Loomis Road. Now, I'm assuming that on map 7.1, that's the blue line that runs along 116th Street and over.
Somebody's going to tell me that that's been cleared and graded and covered with limestone and it's open to the public? Is that representation being made here tonight?
We are trying to express the current condition, what it is today. We're not saying that they're changing anything. We're trying to say what it is today.
Well,
I don't think that's correct.
Is it a limestone trail? Is it been cleared, graded, covered with limestone?
What one might reasonably presume from something that's described as a trail, a crushed limestone trail?
Yeah, I would believe it was, but is probably in very poor condition today.
It was at a time that the interurban went down there, but it is not today.
I frankly, no discourtesy to anyone, but I think this is not well represented.
I think we're talking about trails available to the public today. It's something that I would very much like to see be a limestone or even asphalt trail,
right,
but to represent that it is not what it is, I think, does not appropriately represent what we have.
And it may be a carryover from the old plan as well.
I didn't go back and look at the old plan.
Mr. Ritter, do you mind if I have a conversation with you? I don't do as much as I would like, but I used to do a lot of mountain biking and in state parks. And in comparison to the trails that I've ridden on in the state parks, like Wailusing and stuff, that's a great trail.
Is it open?
Well, it's my understanding that, you can take a mountain bike down it right now. And from some of the trails that I rode on that were big signage and this is the Sentinel Trail and blah, 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 that's like a super highway in comparison to the trails I've rode on.
It has many uses, if I may say. It has many uses that are up and down that trail. I see them and notice them every day. And people do use it.
So there is active public use.
There is active public use.
Okay.
Well, in Kettle Moraine, I think it's the Carlin Trail. Some parts you can hardly find it. In other parts, it's fantastic. So it's, people can use it. If you have a mountain bike, I wouldn't want to go on there with a touring bike. But I wouldn't want to go on there at all. But.
When I see crushed limestone trail, I think of the interurban trail as it goes over into Mosquito, or as it goes north from the substation. I don't think of it as it goes south. So perhaps just rephrasing that to reflect to a more accurate reflection of the condition and use of the trail, as the mayor indicates, something that would, again, just more accurate reflect.
What do they call it? It's mountain bike trails.
Or I'd prefer to go more generic and vague, because if I point out the shortcomings, it might encourage some further discussion about changing, and I thought that was the sensitivity. We didn't want to propose changes or acknowledge that it's there and it's utilized, but we're not really pushing for any change.
I might be wrong, but and maybe Dave knows, but I think if somebody wants to go down there right now with a mountain bike trail, it's wide open.
Correct. As far as I know, yes.
Yeah. I will remove all references to crushed limestone.
Right, that doesn't exist.
Now, the wilderness thing could be as a wilderness
trail. That's for sure.
Just call it a trail.
Yeah.
On the next page, page 42, mid-page Hunting Park neighborhood plan. Hunting Park Special Park PS3 on map 7.1. My map 7.1 does not have a PS3.
So is my map 7.1 out of date?
No.
That was all done. You either need to get it on map 7.1 or get it out of the text. So those are the two choices. But I would suggest that we're going to, again, consistent with what I said before, if we're going to talk about it in the text, then it should be on the map.
Any objection? Seeing none?
No.
Okay. Same comment, page 49, talking about the Woodview Trail. It references PN4, and my 7.1 does not have a PN4. So,
I was wondering why you were being so quiet.
I would wait for my turn to come around.
We'll see. I remember the comprehensive master plan days. So. Thank God I never pushed the committee to try and go faster.
Well, just about map 7.1 in general. I have a road bike route that I have ridden many times each summer for the last several summers. Some of it is marked as an existing trail, some of it is marked as a proposed trail, and some of it isn't marked at all. And yet if you go out and ride it, the only difference with any of it is the age and condition of the asphalt. You won't tell the existing trail from the proposed trail, from the not a trail at all. I think this does us to a certain extent a disservice by creating the impression that we have a lot of trails that really aren't there. I will also take the position that putting signs up along a road that say this is a trail doesn't make a trail. I know that gets done some places, but I will take exception to that. Beyond that, the last point I will try to make here is, it's great to show everything on one page. We may not be able to do that. It might be useful to have somewhere in here or in some future edition break the city up into quarters where we can have a little more detail to work with. There's a concept we might use again. We're probably past that point as far as this updated plan is concerned, but something to keep in mind for the future as we get a little more detailed. I would suggest with regard to the southwest quadrant of the city, we just earlier this evening talked about getting the sewer in place, and that will be coming along. The reason we don't have a lot of trails, or there are two reasons why we don't have a lot of trails in the city. Number one, it hasn't been a priority in the past. Wasn't really something that people wanted a lot of. And now that it has become, it's just extremely difficult to try to retrofit trails into existing development. We need to not make that mistake in the southwestern part of the city. One of our urgent needs, our highest priorities, I think, ought to be A, figuring out where the developed park area is going to be, figuring out what connections we need to get in place to field that, and get those on the map before the development happens, so that when the development applications come along, we can work them around what we want those connections to be. Because if we do what we've been doing, let the developer go ahead and develop whatever the developers want to put it, and then try to come in and fit in the linkages and the connections later, it's not going to happen any more than it's happened so far. So I think, okay, I'm not saying hold up the plan and put that stuff in there now. Let's go ahead and do the update of the plan and move forward. But I think in the next couple of years, one of the highest priorities, I might say we should work on trying to develop connectivity within the developed parts of the city, but that's going to be a long-term thing. Certainly we ought to be able to take advantage of whatever opportunities come along, but let's not make the same mistake in the undeveloped part of the city that we've made in the developed part of the city and then put ourselves in the position having to try to figure out how to retrofit it in after the development has occurred. Let's figure out where the big park area is going to be, what connectivity and where the commercial business areas are going to be, get those connections figured out first, get them on the map. Then when the development applications come in, we can give them the attention and the priority they need at that time, so that we'll have a, I think we'll have a much better chance of getting them for that part of the city if we have something to work in and work around, rather than, let's say, do what we've been doing, you know, thus far in other parts of the city. So that's my bigger, I guess.
Yeah, the biggest portion of that Southwest Area 2 are the major roads that are there slicing it up, and how do you get over them or under them in order to have connectivity to those trails? And that's going to be one of the major issues, because between the state and the county and the federal highway, in order to make those connections, that's, I think, is going to be the toughest one to get over in order to do that.
There's going to be lots of issues to deal with, and we're going to set a much, much better chance of dealing with them if we know what we want to get connected to what, and have at least something in mind that we can work with, so that, again, when the development applications come in, we can work that into the process at the time, because if we don't get it then, it's going to be much, 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 much more difficult to try to bring it in sometime later.
Yeah, we're lucky with Highway 100 right over Rawson Avenue that we got bike trails and paths going over that. That's one major obstacle that we got by, which worked out real well.
Let the record reflect that there are 4,000 people nodding in agreement with Mr. Ritter. Mr. Ritter.
Yeah, that's enough for now.
Mr. Micklet?
Just to note that there are, at this point, grant opportunities for, if you've pre-planned, as Mr. Ritter was talking about, if you pre-planned these areas, there are grant opportunities to make sure that the very Chinese walls that you're talking about can be overcome. So if you can show that we've pre-planned some interconnectivity, but we face this problem, you can go for a 100% no-match grant. Even if you get a 50% grant, that's good as well. But like Mr. Ritter says, we have to do it now. We have to know now. When a developer comes in, if they know that interconnectivity is part of the deal, they'll happily do it, because property values go up, the whole city prospers from that. And when you look at certain, we have small areas in the city right now where that occurs, right up the hill from here, that neighborhood, which I'd like to move into just because it already has those little trails that come down to a park. People enjoy that. But it has to be, it has to be organic and in there already. You can't go to somebody and get into their defensible space and say, we're going to put this right next to your house after the fact.
That's so, where Alderman Olson lives.
His neighbor.
And the state has been very, very open to talking to him about that road, because when that road starts getting redone, so far they have a pretty good open here.
And I will say the same thing about the city center area. We've talked many times about the city center plan. Now we've got a shopping area, we've got a health services area, we've got City Hall here. There's still some land there to be developed. I think that's an area we're going to look at higher density, areas for a senior population to congregate, where there's convenient access to varied shopping and healthcare and so forth. I think that's another area where we need to have a better focus on what's our plan for development going to be and what's the connectivity going to be within it. Because it's wonderful to talk about Madison or Middleton or places like that, but my guess is if you looked at the population density, you'd find a dramatic difference between those areas, frankly. We may get to that level of population density someday, but I think it's more likely that some segments of the community are going to get to. And the Civic Center is one area where I think we legitimately could look at a higher density population where that connectivity would make more sense and be more convenient to, say, seniors, that sort of thing. So in addition to the southwest part of the city, we should spend some time looking at the Civic Center area, because it has become, I say, with the new shopping development, with the health care, this is an area that's going to be a natural magnet, I think, for more senior housing, that sort of thing. And then those connections to the stores, to the health care facility, to me, that would make a lot of sense.
I'm smiling because in Madison they may need those bike trails to get home from the football game.
Straight up,
there was something that you said.
We don't need any approvals in this conversation, right?
Oh, something that you said, Mr. Ritter, about the bike trails where it goes from asphalt to maybe gravel to something else. And I don't know if it's still the same way, but when I used to take the 76 bike trail and I get down Bayview, I remember going across railroad tracks, and there were signs, but I didn't see any bike path. It was a road. It was, right? It's probably still there. Yeah. So those the signs are there, and it's open. But one other thing, and that's that it's very possible that, you know, our parks are in their infancy right now, but there could be a day where you have a Starbucks or a nice coffee shop in some of these parks, and the linkage and all that, saying, you know, we've got this. So all the amenities, when you're looking at these parks, that should also pop up eventually. Small kiosk. So if you could have that done by tomorrow, we'd really appreciate that just for you. All right, so anything else? Okay, is there a motion? Mr. Ritter.
One other question I had. There is, what has been the role of the school district in this? I know school district's been involved in trails, but what has, and we talked about Pleasant View, and we talked about Forest Park and developing the park on the floor. Has this been presented to the school board or the school district staff? Are they aware of what we're talking about? Is it may affect some of their properties? Get through them.
I think I asked you several times if you would contact all three of the school superintendents, if you would contact the director of the Milwaukee County Park System, and a number of other individuals. And I think you provided me with a explanation that you did contact everyone and invited all of them, and you did so by letter, maybe even certified letter. No?
Phone call. I've talked to them personally, all three superintendents, and the county director of the parks twice. So the superintendents once and the director of parks twice. Before approximately at the time of the open house. And the two school districts that are mostly outside Franklin aren't interested in participating at all. They would like to be kept apprised of what we're doing, but they don't want to participate. Franklin School District, same story, very interested in being kept apprised. They made a big point, continue to keep them apprised. But I asked them specific questions, you know, Forest Park, and no interest. And same thing with the county. I specifically brought up the Central Park Sports Complex and Crystal Ridge Ski Hill. She was interested in Crystal Ridge Ski Hill. So that continuing to work out, trying to iron out what's going to happen there, she was interested in that. From a park standpoint, no interest in the Central Park and no interest in the sports complex. So I do believe that it's about time that I contact them again to let them know where we are. But at that point in time, so that was only a month and a half ago or so, not very much interest.
I did, because we do have Crystal Ridge and we have area around the sports complex. Recently I've had, as you know, we had county Executive Holloway here, and the subject of Crystal Ridge came up and 51st and Putes. And I also had discussions with the new Economic Development Director from Milwaukee County. I've had discussions with some of the candidates for County Executive. It's my understanding, I'll just put it this way. First of all, the Parks Commission and the Common Council gave me authority to enter into negotiations with Milwaukee County regarding some sort of partnership. It's only recently, like in the last few days or so, that I don't believe there's been a county board of supervisors has approved any dollar figure for Crystal Ridge. And I don't think that there's been any dollar figure assigned to 51st and Putes, nor, I don't know if this has to occur, but I would think that both entities have to be placed into surplus to be acquired, and I don't really know what the process is for that. But we did have general discussion about it. So, and I hope to have a more discussion with the parks director in your future, because I still have these little leaguers, these football league gentlemen that you guys that are very interested in going out there and participating, but I'm not aware that there's been any price tag that's been passed by the or assigned to any of those parks by the county board. So, okay. Can I make a motion now? All right, is there a motion to approve a resolution recommending adoption of the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan 2025 for the City of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, recommending adoption of an ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to incorporate the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan 2025 pursuant to Wisconsin Statutes, Chapter 66.1001, paren 4, paren B. With the proviso that it would include all of the accepted comments and suggestions by the plan commissioners, as well as discussions, things that were agreed to or recommended by the Alderman Solomon, and the chairman of the Parks Commission, and Alderman Wilhelm. Is there a motion to that effect?
Yes.
Second. So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. If there's no objection, I'd like to record the vote as unanimous. Seeing none, staff, could you please report the vote as unanimous? And I also want to thank the staff for doing an absolutely excellent job given the ridiculous time frames that the mayor assigned to it.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Anything else? Yeah. You have in front of you just you can take action, I guess, on tonight. But this came from the Economic Development Commission incentives, business incentives. And maybe the city attorney will tell you which portions were deleted from that. I think we've had enough tonight. It's already 9 o'clock. It's primarily for informational purposes, although the Plan Commission does have the ability of setting the economic, the stage for an economic environment, a friendly economic environment, an environment that would lead to smart growth, that would promote LEED certification, things of that nature. So I'd like you to maybe take it home with you and come back with some recommendations, although I do have the chairman of the Economic Development Commission, a former member, that may want to say something about it. Yeah. Mr. Micklick?
Anyway. It's a long time ago I typed this thing up.
finally got here, John.
Yeah, finally got here.
That's up.
I guess the overarching theme of this is if we're able to codify and delineate what it is we desire as a community to help develop a better commercial development, better residential development, increased tax base. If we have that codified up ahead and a developer comes in and we can give suggestions that then result in further codified incentives, I think we can get some things done that aren't being done right now. And I think some questions will be asked by developers that aren't being asked now. You know, what if we go two stories instead of one story, things like that. So that's the lens through which to look at this.
Okay. We did have it on the agenda for the CBA tonight. I believe action was taken, if I remember, and then there were some things added. No, we didn't take action. We did take action. Mr. Ritter?
Well, I was just going to ask in the staff memo, as it says on the Common Council agenda for February 15th, between the Common Council meeting and the CBA meeting, is there anything that we should be aware of out of those discussions?
City Attorney.
The Common Council adopted a motion to approve materials provided by the Economic Development Commission, with the exception of the category of property tax strategies that it's entitled spoken tax rebates and the like, which I informed the council I thought violated the informed request of the tax. At the CBA, the council was aware that the mayor directed that the EDC product distributed to the plant commissions and county council. County council is aware that this is a general topical, categorical type of work. CDA discussed that, and the action by the CDA this evening was to direct staff to prepare effective real-world examples, such as a revolving loan fund, which is where all the policy choices come in, because incentive tools, when you get specific, require funding. You know, no bucks, right? Anyway, directing staff to bring that back to the authority at its next meeting, as well as to take a look at placement prominent manner on the city's website of a more specifically stated economic development program, including a clear-cut City of Franklin is efficient and rapid in its development approvals based on the process created by the mayoral ad hoc development committee and the like. So, told staff, bring back more specifics on this with specific tools. We'll take a look at it and also look at the
website. Yeah, it's my understanding that it took some time to get here because of just communications, whatever. This didn't get passed, or that this guy thought that guy was going to handle it.
So, is it reasonable to presume that if this comes back, or when this comes back to the bank, we can get that we will have anything that's developed for the CDA, for the county council at that time?
Right. What I was looking for in getting it to the CDA and council is that I can put this in my, call it my economic development toolbox, should we need to come out with incentives. But the larger picture, maybe Mr. Miglick can tell me if I'm wrong, is to kind of set the whole stage. It's the creation of an environment that says to the world, hey, we're a great place to come to. We got this, we got that, we got bike trails, all that stuff. And do it with smart growth and something like that, right?
Incentives.
Okay. Let's see. I don't have anything from the mayoral ad hoc development process review committee other than I will say that I asked the city attorney earlier in the evening if he was getting busy, because I feel like I'm getting, like, real busy again, which is a good thing. And I think he said yes. And the Development Review Committee and we might be bringing some things into you shortly, and that might be some pretty good stuff. So I don't have anything. City friend, do you have anything for the Comprehensive Master Plan?
The topics tonight relate to it. Park plan again would be adopted as part of the Comprehensive Master Plan. The idea is to pursue economic development strategies, incentives are reflected in the Comprehensive Master Plan as well. So pursuing those options and avenues are all wrapped into that Comprehensive Plan.
Okay. Let's move to City of Franklin Trails Committee. Mr. Fowler is in here, so maybe we could assign him some more work.
Yeah,
it was the last time he became chairman doing the missing. I do have something to add on here, and I sent it to Alderman Skaronski earlier yesterday. And that said, I received a complaint regarding traffic for North Cape Road. And that there was an absence of sidewalks down there, and that the children were having difficulty getting to Countrydale School, et cetera, et cetera. And then the other part of the complaint was that portions of Rawson Avenue were very dangerous, I guess near Whitnall Park, where I called the individual back and had a long conversation, but informed that person that both roads are county trunk roads, that Alderman Skaronski, myself, Mayor Klimitz, Alderman Bergman, and I'm sure Mr. Bennett have had hundreds of calls into Milwaukee County to fix their roads because they are their roads, they are not our roads. And it's very difficult to put in sidewalks until such time as the county is ready to fix their roads. But I am in total agreement with the person that filed the complaint, and I sent it off to County Supervisor Caesars, who I haven't seen in probably a year or so, and to let them know that what's going on. The reason that the County Executive Holloway was here, and the reason that he's been coming to the ICC meetings with the mayors and village president, is because I and the mayors have been screaming on the top of our lungs about the condition of the county roads, and that the parks need more money to fix up the parks and the capital improvement, because these things are in our community, and I'm getting the complaints, and the aldermen are getting the complaints, and we keep sending the stuff down there, it doesn't get fixed. So as far as the trails thing, I sent a copy of the complaint to Mr. Fowler, because I think this really goes right in with the, and she asked about the Safe Routes to School program. So this really falls in with, let's try and get some sidewalks and paths for the kids so that they're out of harm's way. But we got to get Milwaukee County to also do that, to recognize it. So with that, there's nothing else on the agenda. I'm going to, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? There is some discussion. We haven't had any special meetings of late. So you've had a reprieve for a while. Future meeting dates, we may have some more special meetings. So just tipping off to that. All right, the motion on the floor has been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I say have it. Motion carries.
I got to find out.
We got it one step closer. There's a bike trail on Oakwood Road. The bike trail on Oakwood Road.
Yeah, you know what? The real world, what you do.